Let us pray. God, of all who doubt and believe, by the gift of your Spirit, enable us to hear with our ears, to see with our eyes, and to touch with our hands your word of life, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God. Amen. I'm going to read John 20, 19 to 29 from the New Testament, and it's on page 1686 in your hymnals, if you want to, not hymnals, your Bible, if you want to watch, if you want to follow. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also one of the disciples, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The word of God for the people of God.
In truth, right? But was later proven to be very much wrong. I don't know, something like chocolate milk comes from brown cows. Some of y'all may have believed that in here, right? Some of y'all, okay, all right. You don't have to own it yet. If you swallow your gum, it will stay in your stomach for how long?
Forever.
7 years, forever. It depends on who's talking to you, which kid told you that one. I love this theological gem. Rain is really God crying. And when it thunders, God's going bowling. Does anybody in here have something like that that you believed as a kid but realized much later in the game that it was absolutely a silly thing to believe? And just raise your hand real quick. Who's got a funny one? Who's got one? All right, Jeff's got one. All right, Jeff, tell me what you believed that you learned.
Mikey died by drinking pop and eating Pop Rocks at the same time.
Oh. The old soda and Pop Rocks myth. Yeah, I know that one. We've all tried it. Actually, I was scared to try it because I was like, Jeff, I believed it. Other ones. Who else has got a silly one? That's something you believed that you thought for sure was truth, but clearly was not at the end of the world. All right, what do you got? Come on, somebody. Oh, here's Kim's got one. All right, Kim, what do you got?
There is no way you can go swimming until 30 minutes after you've eaten.
Yes. If you swim after 30 minutes, it's all over. Before 30 minutes, it's over. So, when you think about these silly beliefs that you might have had as a child, what was it that convinced you otherwise? Jeff, why did you stop believing that if you drank pop and then ate Pop Rocks, you were going to die?
I'm still here.
He's still here. He's still here. He Googled it. Why did you Google it, Jeff? Because you had doubt, right? Because you thought, there's no way people be dropping dead all over this country if people drank pop and then pop rocks and it was over, right? You had doubt. Doubt induced by others, doubt through experiences made you question what you thought was true. When you have doubt, you seek new answers, right? And through that seeking, you learn and you grow. Doubt is actually the fuel that we all need for growth. Without it, you would never change. Think about what your life would be like if you never doubted those silly beliefs that you had as a kid, if you still believe them. It would be a tough life for you, right? No, chocolate milk definitely comes from brown cows. You're not going to tell me otherwise. I have seen it. I know. Right? It's a tough life, right? We have to have doubt. Because doubt opens your eyes to new possibilities, new life. Frederick Buechner, a Presbyterian theologian and author, put it this way. If you don't have any doubts, you are either kidding yourself or asleep. Doubts are the ants in the pants of faith. They keep it alive and moving, right? Y'all know what ants in the pants are. Y'all know that. I used to do that on the dance floor whenever I'd go to a wedding, the ants in the pants. Okay, all right, we're done. We have, I know, yeah, David's here. We have a hard time. So the reality is this, though, right? Because we have a hard time talking about doubt when it comes to our faith. And this is an issue that not only just Christians, but even pastors have a real issue with it. In fact, it was not that long ago. I read an article in the paper that one of the pastors in town wrote about being like, doubt, get it away. Oh my gosh, it's the tool of the devil, right? It's a tool of the devil. And whenever you have doubt, you need to shoo it away the minute it comes into your head. Shoo it away. The devil's trying to get you to not believe. Doubt's bad. You don't want doubt. Get it out of here. And he talked about this idea that doubt was sinful, right? Destructive. Bad. And I think about that because what does that do to you, to all of us? I'm up here telling you that doubt is sinful. What are you going to do? You're going to say, Gray, I have doubts, but I don't feel comfortable talking about them. I don't want to talk about them to you. I don't want to talk about one another. So you suppress them. You're afraid of betraying your faith, your church, your God, and you just let those doubts sit there to fester until they boil over, right? But the reality is that doubts, the idea that doubts are sinful and destructive is actually an unbiblical idea. When you open Scripture, you start to realize that there are a ton of people in this book that have doubted. The Psalms, for example, we were talking about the Psalms in the parents' class. The Psalms are full of people who are faithful, but they express their doubts about God and how God works in the world. Abraham, Moses, Jeremiah, Jonah, all at some point in their stories question God and why the world is the way it is. These doubts are pivotal moments for each of them, pushing them to see God in a new way, a way that they never thought they'd see God. Think about Jesus. Theologian Peter Rollins talks about this idea that when Jesus was on the cross and about to die, what did he say? My God, why have you forsaken me? Which is right out of Psalm 22. my God, why have you forsaken me? On the cross, God doubts God. Right? This crazy moment where Jesus expresses doubt. Right? And so when we express our doubt, it's not God testing us. It's not like when you actually doubt and feel like God isn't there, you're actually standing in the sight of Christ when you are doubting. You're experiencing what Christ experienced on the cross. You're right there with him. This doubt is central to faith. So what we have to realize is that making room for doubt is actually an act of faithfulness. Trying to suppress it keeps our faith shallow. Engaging it, wrestling with it, exploring it allows us to row out into the deep waters of our faith. I am thankful that I doubted that God was an old man in the sky with a really long white beard. Right? I am thankful that I doubted that Jesus was some kind of magical wizard superhero. Right? An awesome, better looking David Copperfield, which is hard to believe, right? I'm thankful that I doubted that my faith would make everything easy for me. And I am thankful that I doubted that churches are always perfect and they will never let you down. Right? Doubt is important. Doubts, though, are painful. They are scary. We fear that when we doubt, we're leaving behind the God we're supposed to love. But the reality is that doubts help us leave behind our misconceptions about God, our whacked out ideas about who God is. This doubting, this questioning allows us to shed the idea of a small God, a God who only does what we say he does, right? A God who sides with me. Doubting such misconceptions makes us develop a faith that can withstand difficult and painful times. A faith that is powerful. So as faithful Christians, as a church community, it is essential that we make room for doubt. Silencing or avoiding questions about faith breeds only shallowness. So dig deep. Bring your questions. I have had many of you in here say, Gray, I have some questions. And I go, great. Bring it on. Let's talk. I don't know that I have all the answers, but we can work on it together and see where God is in the midst of it, right? Because that's what this story about doubting Thomas is all about. When Thomas was having doubts, when Thomas was struggling, when the disciples were struggling, it is then when Jesus showed up in the flesh, right in front of them, revealing the marks, showing them what discipleship truly looks like and what God is actually capable of. That's what happens when we doubt. Jesus shows up and offers us new life, a new vision for what our faith can look like. So remember, doubt is not this sinful thing. It has value in your life. It moves you further along on the journey of faith, even when you think you have abandoned the journey completely. God uses doubt to keep your faith from growing stale. So next time doubt creeps up in your head, it pops up, you have questions, you have doubts, embrace it. Go with it. And seek to see how God is at work in it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.